Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
You're all very welcome back. Dermot McDonald sitting in for Brendan this weekend. Beautiful women, lovely chat. That was just our response to Jodie Picoult and Jennifer Finney Boylan. My God, they really did sort of meld into one at the end of that. But imagine a tweet. One single tweet, and they managed to produce yet another blockbuster book. Well, now it's that time of the year for itchy skin and chapped lips and windburn, but never fear, we have some solutions for you. I had hoped she was going to join me in the studio, but Jennifer Rock, aka the Skin Nerd, did the rugby hold you up this afternoon?
Dermot, between a punctured tyre and the rugby, I was not destined to see you in studio this morning. I'm so sorry, but thank you for having me.
Because I brought in my own little sort of a thing that I have for chapped lips, and I was going to ask you what you thought of I'm going to keep my little secret weapon in my hand instead. Look, it is brilliant to chat to you again. Remind us, you are a facialist. What exactly is that?
Yeah, of course. So a facialist is essentially, it's a separate division to, I suppose, skincare, aesthetics, and the beauty realm. So it's a particular qualification separate to beauty where you specialise in skin. So we would work alongside nurses and doctors and refer people on, but we are by and large just absolutely advocates of skincare. So we can perform treatments that are slightly more aesthetic. So you can use slight needles, a little bit of piercing of the skin. It's really about skin analysis. So as opposed to, say, your local salon where it might be more beauty-led, we're just orientating on skin.
Yeah, so it's halfway sort of between the medical and the recreational. And talk to us about wintertime, because I imagine, having spoken to you before, that even though we are facing into winter and rain and windburn and everything, are we still telling people that to do kind of, I suppose, the basics? It's not just the cleansing serum, but sun protection factor matters even in the darker days and nights.
Yeah, it's a great question. Look, at 365, as you said, all seasons, including winter, it is important to cleanse the skin. Definitely important to get serums into the skin as opposed to a typical moisturiser. They're lighter weight, they tend to penetrate in and really will help the skin condition regardless of the time of year. And SPF is an interesting one, Dervil, because people often think, particularly on this beautiful island of ours where we maybe don't have the heated rays at this time of year, people might forgive themselves for not applying SPF. But there's daylight always, and that light can penetrate into the lower layer of the skin. So from an ageing and from a less aesthetic perspective, but from, I suppose, a more cancer perspective, we want to make sure we're always shielding and protecting the skin. But what would you do in winter, say, different to the summer? Well, I suppose the reality is that there isn't the humidity in the air. So the reality is that the skin becomes slightly drier, more irritated, inflamed, redness tends to appear. So what would you do slightly differently? You just change the ingredients ever so slightly. So I would always encourage people to look for, and you'll see these in so many pharmacies, all department stores, and completely affordable. So ceramides are an amazing ingredient at this time of the year, simply because, and you find them in moisturizers and barriers, and every, honestly, so many products have ceramides, and your skin naturally is comprised of ceramides. So our skin is naturally a barrier. We know this, that's the function of it as an organ. So when you have ceramides in your skin, but light and lots of different things tend to deplete it, the cold air, the indoor air, you know, the heat on off, we're asking a lot of our skin in a short space of time. So the ceramides tend to be depleted. So we just like to put back into the skin what the skin naturally has, and we're just mindful that we don't over exfoliate, which can be the go-to solution at this time of year. People want to slough off the dead skin cells, but if you do that excessively, i.e. an epidemic of over exfoliation that we would see in skincare at the moment, you're disrespecting that barrier. So it's actually just about TLC, minding, protecting and sealing.
And some things, Jennifer, that people see at this time of the year, particularly as the seasons change, is they might have more itchy skin. And obviously, look, I mean, if some of those symptoms, you would have to go and get a medical specialist and get that type of advice. But often the reason for itchy skin at this time of the year is dryness. What is happening at this time of year that's generating that?
It's a great question. I think the reality is dry skin, so there's three different skin types. You tend to be either what we would call, inverted commas, normal skin. So you have a balance of oil and you have a balance of, you know, your skin isn't too dry or too oily. Then you've obviously got an oily skin, which will have an excess sebum secretion or excess oil. And then for dry skin, you're under secreting. So you're not secreting as much oil onto the skin to form that barrier as we'd want. But come the winter time, you think about it, you're in the car, you're putting the heat on, it's in close proximity to the face. You jump out of the car, it's cold for those few minutes. You might or might not be putting turning your heat on when you get into the house. So we're asking a lot of our skin to kind of be exposed to superficial heat, if you will, and dry heat. And there's that lack of humidity that I mentioned. And that all has a negative impact on the top layer of the skin. It just dries out, literally dries out that water that we naturally have in our skin. And we call it TEWL. So without getting too nerdy, it's called transepidermal water loss. Essentially, the natural reservoir of water we have in our skin, bearing in mind we're comprised of a lot of water, it just evaporates out. Back to why it's so important to seal it in. However, if it starts to verge into that itchiness and irritation, you need to be, I suppose it's to be mindful. If it's itching for a progressive or say 2 weeks or more, it would be best to seek counsel from a medic, because you don't want to risk that you're causing more irritation or infection with the fact that it's becoming now more like a wound. If it's dryness and it's just, you know, kind of taut, tight, tender, then you should be, it should be sufficient to be able to put on a barrier like moisturizer and your SPF just to really lock all that goodness into the skin. Other things you can do, I suppose, you can have a humidifier in the room, trying to get as much moisture into the skin as is possible. Reduce the temperature of your shower is another great one. We all love a beautiful hot shower, but that can tend to cause dryness on the skin.
Yeah, so it's all of those things. Perhaps people might be worried about less heating this winter than in
exactly.
previous ones. You're talking about skin dehydration, and I suppose if it's the outermost skin cells, it might be causing flaking. Are conditions like psoriasis or scalp conditions, like, you know, or dandruff, something that you would be dealing with?
We see, so with the Skin Nerd, we would see, because we have 50,000 clients that have had consultations over the last few years. And what's really become apparent to us from our statistics is that it's 10 to 15% of people are now asking about hair health, scalp health, and whether that comes from just an aesthetic perspective, wanting to have the healthiest hair, or whether it's that people are finding really dry, tender, dandruff-like, itchy. Yeah, there's a huge increase in it. And we find, unfortunately, psoriasis, for example, is a perfect example. It's a medical condition that definitely does warrant that assistance too, but it's autoimmune and it can be triggered by stress. So I think that's what's really interesting, is to think of skin not just as the aesthetic organ, but we're now finding our way in this post-pandemic life and trying to understand what way we should be or not be, and hybrid living and childminding and juggling and struggling with a lot. And sometimes our skin can be a barometer for that internal fluctuation of those cortisol levels inside. So I would ask people just to see their skin as a barometer for inside out. And if you do need to go to a pharmacy or a doctor, do. And if it is something just like dry skin, really good quality ingredients, niacinamide, ceramide, panthenol, really, really what we call occlude the skin, just seal the skin, keep all that goodness in.
And tell me, what about water? Because we probably during the warmer months are drinking more water. Does dehydration contribute to that? Because we sort of maybe tend to do less during the winter months of drinking water.
We definitely do, don't we? I don't even know, if we're being honest with ourselves at times, I think you see that box on a forum and you tick the 2 litres because you know it's what
every
you're supposed
day.
To do. But
every
yes,
day.
Ultimately, what we put into our body, Dermal, has a big difference to our skin. So inside out is always our philosophy, how you look after yourself inside. So essential fatty acids and drinking water are two key components for our suggestions for people as to what they put into their bodies every day. So essential fatty acids being, again, I suppose the key, like your EFAs and your omega-369s, they're almost like an internal skin moisturizer. We might like to put on body moisturizers or your magic lip balm like you spoke about at the start of
it's
the
in my
the
hand
segment,
but I had it here
really
for your assessment.
Getting the good fats into the skin to hydrate the cell.
And on that, just on kind of, you know, because it is a winter thing with chapped lips, is that just the, you know, the winter weather, or are there any other reasons that's leading, you know, to that?
By and large, we'd find it is to do with the weather, and we tend to lick our lips and then that water evaporates and causes dryness. So it's almost like you're causing our, we're almost, not that we're bringing it upon ourselves, but we're trying to pacify that dryness by licking them, but then that natural saliva will evaporate and therefore leaves the skin more dry. So again, it's back to, as you said, like a lip balm, or really when you're cleansing and putting your serum and your SPF on in the morning time, people tend to leave the lip, they go around the lip for some reason. And so by and large, a lot of particularly women that might wear makeup, let's say, they might get hydration from a lip balm or a lipstick. But for those of us that don't wear makeup, you know, it really is important that you put products over your lip too. It's such a tender, thin membrane. It's really important that we do protect that area. So lip balms are your quick fix, essential fatty acids from a diet perspective. And we always encourage people to if there really is something persistent, obviously go to, pop down to your local pharmacist or doctor, but try and figure out the root cause. So if you can feel that it's the lips are dry, well, I am licking my lips a lot more. I've just had a cut. It's trying to figure out what it is, because once you know the bigger why, you know how to really alleviate or address that.
I have some questions here for you. Jennifer, one said, does drinking too much alcohol dry out your skin because it dehydrates you? And in the same question, but entirely unrelated, what about chlorine in swimming pools?
So the first question, I suppose this is something we've coined ourselves. So alcohol, albeit it's, you know, it's always to be taken with caution, but from a skincare perspective, we've coined the word drinkles. So bear with me. So drinkles for us would suggest it's dehydrated wrinkles. So with you know, festivities and people and family gatherings at the moment, there's definitely a tip or two happening. What tends to happen with the skin the next day is that the water is evaporated from the skin. So it is a little bit more taut. How do you know if your skin's dehydrated? It's always a great test to do. Wash your face at any time and leave it for an hour to 2 to 3 hours and put nothing on it, and I literally mean nothing, no spritz, no serum, no lip balm, and really pinch the skin a couple of hours later. And if you feel that when you're dragging your fingers across the skin and it puckers, it'll feel kind of taut or rough or tight, then it would suggest you're slightly on the dehydrated scale. If, however, you touch your skin a couple of hours later and it feels like, you know, there's a lot of volume in it and it's just gliding over like a baby skin, congratulations, you've somehow figured out how to have the most hydrated skin. So the one thing I'd say about alcohol is that, unfortunately, well, there's a couple of things you could say, but from a skin perspective, it causes inflammation and it causes dehydration. So to be cautious with it.
One listener said, is it possible, Jennifer, to be addicted to lip balm? Some people think they're addicted to lip balm. I see the producer glaring at me, perhaps accusing me of that, but no. Is it possible? Can we overdo it?
You're guilty as charged, Ervil. Is that what you're attempting to tell us?
I think I may.
Yes, you can do. It does depend on the product and it does depend on the ingredients. So I suppose the most commonly and really affordable product that's out there would be a petroleum jelly-based product. And what's interesting about that is that it's a brilliant barrier. So there's something in skincare called slugging, which, bear with me, it's essentially
Trinkles,
when you put
slugging.
A petroleum-based product across the face to really, say you're going out for a hill walk or you're going out on the beach in the depths of the winter and you really want to shield the skin, that can work for a one time only period or one time in a day. When you're putting a product like that onto the lip, it doesn't actually truly hydrate, it's just occluding. So I just be conscious of what I'm putting on. So antioxidants, glycerine is, if you can get, and how would you know if you've glycerine in a lip balm? Look at the lip balm that you've purchased, or if you're buying online or in a pharmacy, and just look at what we call the inky list, i.e. the ingredient list, and you're looking for something like glycerine or ceramides at the top, you know, the first kind of 10 ingredients should ideally have that in it. And then if it's in that high up on the list, it means it's truly in that product. Yeah. And those ingredients will really, truly help to hydrate the lip. So you're not finding that you're reapplying.
Well, listen, Jennifer Rock, a.k.a. The Skin Nerd, you're in your car, abandoned somewhere. You're also on Instagram at The Skin Nerd. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll speak to you soon.